This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner alongside Dave Tindall for a look at this week's two events. We've got the Trophy Hassan in Morocco and we also have the Valero Texas Open on the PGA Tour as well. A warm welcome to the man sitting opposite me here in the studio, Dave Tindall. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Tindall.
Good to have you back, Dave.
It's good to be back.
Good.
It is good to be back. I did actually catch some of the golf last week.
You did?
Which was good. Yeah, I watched quite a bit of it. I watched the majesty of Jon Rahm in Spain. I love the fact that he's so tempestuous, Jon Rahm. It's good to have golfers with a little bit of character and they're not afraid to show their emotions. And I think he responds positively to the adversity more often than not. That's my feeling anyway. That's the way I gauge things with Jon Rahm, and it's good to see a golfer like him, I think, at the top of the game.
Yeah, you get it in other sports. I think the most famous or best example is McEnroe in tennis. When his juices were, you know, when he was pumped, he didn't mean to say, often you hear the phrase, don't you, his head's gone, and then it's adverse effect on performance. And McEnroe almost needed to get himself fired up. Maybe Ian Poulter's another needs that sort of extra push, that extra goal to get him going. Rahm's definitely one of them. I think with him, there's a bit of conflicting evidence. I think in last year's match play final, his head went a bit against Dustin Johnson, and that didn't help him.
He came back towards the end, didn't he?
It depends on has the damage been done already in those few holes. I thought it was a great performance because he turned up there. Everyone thought he'd win, and it's a lot to carry on your shoulders, isn't it? Your home open.
Absolutely.
You know, he'd played the course as a junior, and everyone's going, oh, John Rahm's going to win. He's got to go out there and do it. And right till the end, he was under pressure. And then I think the difference was on that 17th, when his ball didn't go in water, he got up and down. He got a break, but then cashed in on the break, whereas Nacho Elvira, okay, it did go in the water, but he should have got away with a bogey, and then his head wasn't right, and he missed a tiny putt and made double, and that was all over. So Rahm gets up and down, goes and birdies the 18th, and suddenly, you know, slams the door shut. It's a brilliant performance. What a player.
Money talks as well, doesn't it? Because that course looked like a municipal in West Yorkshire, didn't it? It was... Those greens looked horrible. I mean, from an aesthetic perspective, it just looked bad, that golf course.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You could have just turned up and played it and thought, oh, this is just some sort of local course.
Yeah, this is all right.
To be the host of the Spanish Open,
it just looked bad to me.
Yeah, so
maybe looks can be deceiving, and it was popular with the players, but I very much doubt it.
Possibly, yeah. It's perhaps only a course that a mother could love.
And Dave, Siwoo Kim in America. I didn't see any of that tournament, I must admit, but the anguish was transmitted through the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of people on Siwoo Kim. I'd had a few quid myself as well, so it was strange because I sort of saw he was going well for three rounds, and then I forgot. I didn't really pay much attention to the early start on a Sunday, so I suddenly logged on, and he was leading after, I think, 12.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is going well. And then I made the mistake of kind of watching it via shot tracker and kind of seeing Twitter people going, oh no, and this is hard to watch. And
it was a meltdown. Well, it wasn't a meltdown. He played brilliantly from tee to green.
That's the thing.
He just didn't putt well.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't missing putts for bogey and stuff. I mean, that brilliant approach to the last hole, and you thought, fair credit to him, because he's messed up on some putts, but now he's still giving himself a chance, but they just didn't go in. And yeah, it's a bit of a tough one to take, that one. But I thought Cadera was brilliant. That one.
So
I quite like those events where, obviously maybe not so much this time, where a guy gets in early in the clubhouse and then the weather's bad and everyone's holding on. It's quite a sort of fun little script, isn't it? And for him to come out and then hole that bomb on the third extra hole, fair play to him. And I also like it as well when these kind of Japanese players, people just think are a bit naff, or you know, who are they, and they're actually like world number, you know, in the top 40 or 30,
yeah,
and they get paid no respect at all, really. But I'd been writing bits about him because he played in the World Match Play. He was, what, tied 28th at the Masters. Mm-hmm. This was a, you know, he'd won loads in Japan. This was a proper player. And there's a bit of me that thought, oh, I wish I'd had a few quid on him, because I think that course, it probably suits the Japanese players who are used to sort of more tighter, tree-lined, shorter courses, and that's more of their strengths. I don't think it was a big surprise that he won, to be honest.
It was according to the betting, wasn't it? I think he was 200-1.
Yeah, well, that was a silly price for what he'd achieved, but I didn't cash in.
You're going to have people tweeting you now saying, oh, it's all right you say that after the event, as we've just
mentioned.
Well,
I'm a Kimbacker, so I shouldn't be sort of sticking up for him, but just to say that going forward, sometimes these underrated Asian players.
Yep.
You know, you've got to keep your eye on them.
Let's get stuck into this week then. We'll start with the Trophy Hassan II, which is the European Tour offering. And Paul Dunn is the 12-1 market leader. Joost Luiten is in the betting at 16-1 here with William Hill. Thomas Peters is 16-1. George Kutsaya, 18-1. Alexander Levy and Pablo Larrazabal, both 22s. Andy Sullivan, 25-1. Aaron Rye is 28-1, along with Jorge Campillo. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. A short hop from Spain to Morocco for the Trophy Hassan. And Eduardo Molinari is the defending champion. He saw off the informed Paul Dunn in a playoff last season. And we have a couple of season's worth of course form to go on as well, with this golf course, the Royal Golf Dar es Salaam, hosting for the third season in succession. It's a long par 73, measuring over 7,600 yards with five par fives on the layout. And according to the stats, which I must admit I approach with a certain degree of scepticism, because it's impossible to know how many holes have been measured in previous editions. That's the way I view things anyway, Dave.
Yeah.
The ingredient to success around this golf course appears to have been having a hot putter and a sharp short game.
I think so. I mean, to sort of pick up on that point, Junhun Wang, when he won, no one even recorded his stats. Is that back to the sort of, oh, he's a sort of Asian player, he's not going to win, so we won't bother? I don't know. That's ridiculous.
I'm not sure it will have been that. But
how can you not have recorded his stats? Obviously, the anecdotal or the evidence you saw with your own eyes was in that playoff where he held a long one, or 20 footer, to get into the playoff, then hold a 50 footer to stay alive, and then hold another.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it, in terms of the culmination to an event?
Yeah, so that was a fantastic win. And so you presume he putted well that week. We don't quite know, but you presume he did. But yeah, when you look at some of the other players who we did see stats for, it does seem to be putting average was, you know, I think across the four players who contended the playoff places the last 2 years, three of them were in the top three for putting for the week.
And the good news is we're going to have strokes gained statistics on the European Tour very shortly, aren't we, provided by the 15th club, I believe.
I think so. I mean, they're on the website now, aren't they? Strokes Gain Putting is on the website now.
Okay.
They're there now.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of them I'm looking at and thinking, is that right? Because they don't quite tally with some of the other putting stats. But
okay.
Yes, I think it's a good leap forward and a welcome leap forward.
It is,
definitely. For the European Tour. So I look forward to looking at those.
Have you got any selections for this event then, Dave?
I've got one, yes.
I've got a couple. So shall I lead
you
off?
You go, yeah.
I'm going with, as my first pick, he's been cut in the betting, unfortunately. He was 50-1 when I did the prep earlier on this morning.
Could this be mine?
He's been cut into 40s now. Renato Paratore is my selection. The young Italian. And he stood out for me as the best bet in this field at 50s. He's still a decent punt at 40-1, I believe. He's putted these greens well on his two starts in the event, having finished 8th last year and 10th the year before, and his lack of accuracy off the tee hasn't hindered him at this venue either, and his length has certainly been an asset. And then you're looking, having got the the course form in the bag. You're looking for the current form, and there's a bit of that in his resume as well, with a tie for fourth in the Qatar Masters 3 starts ago, and then a tie for 21st in Spain last week, where he closed 68-68. His win in the Nordea Masters was built on a solid putting week when scoring wasn't all that low, and I can certainly see Paratore being in the shake-up for his second tour title, and I thought 50s was good, 40s is acceptable. Yep. So a point each way, Renato Paratore.
Yeah, sort of simplifying it. I think there's just two players in the field who've had top 10s both years, him and Chris Hansen, I think the other one. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so I think he'll go well. What about you? What's your headline pick?
I'm going for a player who I think or hope is still 50-1, Adrian Otegui. Do you pronounce it like that?
I think I
write it more than I say it a lot. Yeah. So I actually say Otegui just so I spell it right. But I do that with Peter Uihlein. I call him Peter Uih line.
I go with Otegui, I think, but I'm not
Otegui. What did I?
I'm not 100% sure. I think you were pretty close.
Yeah, Adrian or Adrian? Do you go with
Adrian
Otegui? 50, he's 50-1, is he?
He is 50-1, yeah.
That's good. Basically, just looking at the prices, I think 50-1 for one of the most consistently informed players we've got at the moment. He's had 3 straight top 15s, a couple of 12ths and a 10th. The 12th was in Spain last week, and I like the fact he finished there with a 66. So a good week, played in front of his home fans, finished it off nicely, so I think that sets him up well. Did win on the European Tour last year when he won the Paul Laurie match play, so he's sort of ticked that box before. And he's had a couple of knocks here. He made the cut both times. The first one was the best one. He finished tied 22nd, more midfield last time. But I think in his current form, I think he can go anywhere and play well. He's just a kind of solid player. I think, you know, he's going to kick on a little bit. And yeah, maybe this is a good event for him. The match play, you can argue that's a bit quirky to win that one because of the different format, but he's playing so consistently in stroke play that I think this kind of event where it's not the greatest field and he's in form, to get 50s, I think it's fairly handy. So Adrian Otegui.
I like it, yeah. 50-1 here with William Hill for the Spaniard. I'm going with George Kutsaya.
Well, I thought you were, because you tweeted something to that effect.
I did. I just think that he definitely should be closer to Paul Dunne at the top of the market, in my opinion. And even though I'm loath to put up one at the top of the betting, I can't help but think that 18-1 is a decent each-way price on George Kutsaya. His putting display was phenomenal in his win at the Shawnee Open, and he came back from a break to finishing fourth in Spain last week. We know he likes playing in Morocco. His form figures at the previous host course, the Palais Royal, he's finished twice in the top 15 there. His last 4 starts read tied 13th, tied 8th, 1st and 4th. He's been found in the market, obviously, but I still think he should be a few ticks shorter than 18-1 in my opinion. I think it's a good each-way bet. So 18-1, George Kutsaya.
Yeah, I mean, he's South African. We're in North Africa. He won in Mauritius, which is just off the coast of Africa. So I think in and around his home continent, he goes up a few notches.
This is where he thrives, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah. Is it Kikuyu grass, isn't it, for a lot of this, which is very familiar to him as a South African. So yeah, I agree. I think they should be a lot closer. You can see why Dunne is favourite, because he lost the playoff here and then he was second last week and played well in America as well. But I think Kutsaya is the better value bet, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you said that, Dave. Thank you. I didn't have a gun to your head, just to
embarrass
confirm.
You in front of everybody.
Yeah. 18-1, George Kutsaya is my second selection. Who came closest?
I did like him, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. George Kutsaya. Robert Rock, I like. I think we've got him at 50s. Maybe it's a tad too short. He's got
66. We've got him at.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he might have just been.
I think he might.
Pushed out in the
well,
betting.
Hold that then. I'm going to go half a point each way.
All right,
on
okay.
Robert Rock at 66-1.
Okay, yeah.
He just has all the elements. I think he's got some course for. Most best known was when he, in a really tough scoring year when the playoff was -5, when Wang won 2 years ago, he shot -4, so can really play this course. You said about putting earlier. Rock is 4th in strokes game putting. You know, that he's really rolling his rock really well, as it were. And he's got some really nice current form as well. So put it all together, I think he could go well. I think certainly 66 to 1 is a very sporting each way price. And back to the idea that there's not a great deal of depth of quality this week. So I think, yeah, rock. Oh, I'm glad I've got him in there at 66s.
Yeah, well, as we are recording this, a couple of these
are they all
been,
moving out?
A couple of them have been pushed out because I quite like Eddie Pepperell. And he's
what's he gone
he's
to?
50 to 1 now, and he was right. 40s when I looked earlier. So I won't add him as a right, as a, okay, as a third sure. string to the bow. But I think if you're talking about players that came closest away from the two that I've selected,
yeah,
Pepperell would definitely be the one for me at 50 to 1. That was a big win in Qatar for him. I think it could be a catalyst of what's to come, and it was of little surprise to see him start slowly in Spain.
Yes,
when he's had 6 weeks. How long was it off the course?
Well, over a month, wasn't it?
It's weird, isn't it? The European tour schedule when you've not got rights elsewhere.
Yeah, obviously we've gone into that little patch of WGCs and the Masters, and Pepperell just had to sort of sit out and celebrate his win but he probably just wanted to get back out there, didn't he, and ride the wave. He's had to wait, so yeah, there was no surprise. But didn't he shoot a 65, I think,
on the Friday?
Yeah, and so he's ready to go well again, I think now.
Yeah, that was big for him.
Yeah,
and I think because he's got no course form, I think he missed the cut 1 year and was DQ'd. I couldn't find out why he was DQ'd the other year,
right?
But
controversial views on Twitter,
possibly. But because he's not got that course form, I think that means his price is a little bit bigger than it should be.
Sure, you don't want to put him up?
No, I'm going to leave it at 2. But 50 to 1, I think, is pretty worthwhile. Any others you want to mention before we move on?
No, I think we've covered that. We'll keep mentioning all of them. And so he's gone out.
Precisely. Yeah. We've done enough
there,
haven't we? On that. Valero Texas Open, then, the PGA Tour event this week, and here at William Hill, Sergio Garcia is at the top of the betting at 14 to 1. Charlie Hoffman, 18 to 1. Matt Kuchar is 18 to 1. Luke List is 22s. Kevin Chappell and Ryan Moore, both 25 to 1. 28 to 1 for Adam Scott and Billy Horschel, and 33 to 1 and bigger the remainder. And the tour returning to TPC San Antonio for this edition of the Texas Open. Of course, they've really known for its difficulty, with winning scores ranging from 8-under to 15-under in each of the last 8 years. And despite measuring just under 7,500 yards and playing to a par of 72, the winds in Texas make this a tough test for the players. And the challenge tends to increase the nearer you get to these putting surfaces, which are slow but undulating. And those that have form in the wind, Dave, they must be taken seriously. And it's not a great surprise to me that we've had a couple of Aussie winners since this venue was introduced back in 2010. And looking through the winners here as well, you'll see we've got strong iron players that are generally a little bit shaky with a flat stick, historically.
You've got an open winner in Ben Curtis.
You have.
You talk about playing well in the wind. I think that is probably the strongest theme we've got here. I think it's a bit of an odd course, this one. I don't think it doesn't do very well, does it, in the annual list of favourite courses, and none of the sort of big guns have bothered. So I think the potential for a bit of value further down the betting here. But yeah, I would certainly home in on those who play well in the wind as a very leading factor.
I like that, and I like the players that are strong iron players, just strong tee to green players, but are generally considered a little bit weak with the flat stick. You look through that list, Kevin Chappell is one.
Well,
Adam Scott is another.
I didn't back Kevin Chappell last year because of his putting, because I think he'd just come seventh in the Masters, and I thought, oh, he's going to go well here. And then I looked at the strokes game putting stats, and he was outside the top 200. And I thought, well, I can absorb outside the top 100, but outside the top 200, come on.
Charlie Hoffman's another. It has been definitely a theme down the years at San Antonio.
Does that mean Siwoo Kim's going to win then?
It means Siwoo Kim was very high up on my list as a possibility.
So.
But 33 to 1's pretty tight.
Yeah, we've sort of not fallen into that trap, have we?
There's not much juice in that price, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he came back out and showcased that incredible tee to green game.
He's mentally tough. Let's not forget, he won the Players' Championship. He's not someone who had a lucky week last week.
He barely blinked in that win. You think you're going for what is basically a major title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just below the majors, that's the one that everyone wants, the Players' Championship. He didn't blink that week.
No, and you can't tell me you win that and then nothing ever happens to you. He's going to win lots more events just because he's had a sort of kooky week with the putter near the end there. Yeah. When to be fair, the sort of weather changed and he said it sort of threw him out a little bit, but everyone sort of thinks, oh, what a clown last week. But I mean, he played brilliant. He shot the joint best score of the week.
If you think that, you don't deserve to be watching
exactly.
the game.
Yeah.
I've got two picks.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, do you want to lead off this time?
Yeah. So back to this idea of players who've performed well in the wind. So you'd look to Hawaii as an obvious place for that, and this event itself. So I'm going with a Texan, and he's actually won this event too. Jimmy Walker.
Yeah.
50-1. Have we still got him?
He's 50-1, yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of form, as I say, in the wind. Won this event in 2015. Also third in 2010. 16th in 2014, 13th in 2017. So you get the idea. He plays this course very, very well in his home Lone Star State. Obviously, with him, there's been that worry about that disease he's got. Is it Lyme disease?
That's it.
Which seems to have, you know, drained his energy a bit. But it's hard to sort of tell. But you look at his finishes at the moment. He was 8th at Pebble, obviously gets windy there, 28th at the Valspar, 20th at the Masters. Would they have been better if he'd been fully fit, or am I reading too? Are they the sort of a bit tired results, or is he just actually close and he's battling
only,
on through
only,
it?
Only he knows.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, you look at some of these, I think what I like is the fact that if you are saying he's fatigued, his results might get worse as the tournament got on, but he closed Pebble Beach with a 67, which was his best round of the week. He closed the Honda Classic with a 67, his best round of the week. So I think he's going to be okay. And 20th in the Masters, we saw Cadera took 28th, and he goes on to win at Hilton Head. So he's put a marker down, Jimmy Walker. So anyone who finished top 20 in the Masters who's won this event before, who's a major champion, is 50-1. That's a nice sort of combination.
Yeah, 50-1. I can see that. Jimmy Walker, Dave's number one pick. I'm going with someone at 50-1 as well, a Kentuckian, as my selection. JB Holmes,
yeah,
I'm going with
him
at 50s. His last win came in Texas a few years ago, and 50s, I think, is a decent price for a player that certainly fits this type of course. Everything that I mentioned in the preliminaries there. He hasn't had a particularly successful season, JB Holmes. In truth, it's been pretty underwhelming. But his performances have started to turn the corner now. He's made the cut in his last five outings, despite mid-division finishes. But in those last two starts at the Arnold Palmer and the Houston Open, his numbers have been very good. Ranked seventh in strokes gained tee to green and was first off the tee in Houston, his last event. And in Arnold Palmer's tournament, he was 14th in strokes gained tee to green, and his iron play was very solid. The putter is what plagues JB Holmes.
Yeah.
But as I've said in the build-up, this is an event which has consistently seen bad putters succeed. Holmes has three top 20s here in five starts, and I think he looks a decent bet to be banged there on Sunday. So JB Holmes, my number one selection at 50-1.
Yeah, he's won in Houston as well, JB Holmes. Yep. He's very close for me as well. I'm glad you've put him up, yeah.
Second pick?
Yeah, another. We're at 50-1 again, I believe, in Martin Laird.
We are indeed.
Jolly good. Another former winner, so I'm taking a similar approach to this that I did with Jimmy Walker. Plenty of course form at this venue. 9th on debut in 2011, won it 2013, another top 20 last year, and actually could have been a lot better. He shot 75 in the final round. You look at where Laird's done a lot of his winning. He's won in Vegas, obviously that gets very windy. He won at Bay Hill, always windy in Florida.
Yeah.
So he's got proven form on windy courses, and his current form is fairly decent. You look at his last five starts. 9th in Phoenix, 9th at Riviera. They're sort of two impressive results in good fields. 26 at Bay Hill, so another good knock there. and a decent enough 32nd at the Heritage, where it's probably a bit more too fiddly for Martin Laird. I think this course is more Martin Laird territory, a kind of one way can hit it long and high. I think much more suitable than Hilton Head. So I think he's got the right combination of course and current form to put in a big performance this week. And I thought 50s again, that kind of price bracket was fair, because we haven't yet come on to them, but I think those at the front end just look too short to me.
I agree with you, yeah. I'm taking a real flyer.
Higher than 50s.
With my second selection, 200-1.
Right.
With my second pick.
I'm excited.
I like Matt Jones.
Another
Aussie. I've mentioned the record of the Aussies at this course, with Scott and Bowditch having won this event in San Antonio. And I think Jones is very interesting at 200-1. His sole PGA Tour win came in the state of Texas, having beaten Matt Kuchar in dramatic fashion in the playoff for the Houston Open back in 2014. And he finished 13th here last year as well, Matt Jones. He's actually played this event 6 times and has made the cut on 5 occasions. And obviously, at 200-1, Dave, you're getting a player who's not in form.
Yeah.
But he has made his last couple of cuts, having missed the 3 prior to that. And he really seemed to find something in his final round in Houston on his latest start. His iron play was absolutely superb. I think he gained 5 strokes approaching the green and closed with a 68. I'm hopeful that's a harbinger of things to come with Matt Jones. And I thought 200s was definitely worth a pop. So I'm going to point each way at 200-1 as well on Matt Jones, in the hope that that strong iron play in his last round of his last event filters through into this one in Texas this week.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep. Go on then. Let's spin through some of the also-rans, the ones worthy of honourable mentions.
Yeah, well, we'll start at the front end. I think Sergio is probably just sort of... it's a local event for him to play in, and just become a new dad. His busy week at the Masters didn't go well, but he still had to be involved in all the pomp and ceremony and everything. I think he'll just be sort of easing his way back in.
Yeah.
Maybe a top 10, but I wouldn't want to back him on the outrights particularly. Matt Kuchar is that sort of price that he is for everything ever, and his current course form isn't that great, really, is it? A couple of 40th place finishes, so... not really for me. I think if you spend your life back in Matt Kuchar at 14s and 16s, you've got to have a long, hard look at yourself, I think. Charlie Hoffman, obvious credentials, but 18.
You'd go well, wouldn't you? We're 18 to 1.
Yeah, too short for me. Yeah. I suppose the one at the front end was Ryan Moore, who might be a little bit. I wondered if you might go for him.
I just think he's a bit short at 25.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
The ones that I liked that I thought were too short towards the top of the betting, Chesson Hadley.
Yeah, I liked 33-1,
liked him a lot.
A bit short.
Billy Horschel, he's an obvious candidate, isn't he?
He's got hammered, hasn't he, just one good performance.
Precisely. Yeah. Into 28-1 now, Billy Horschel, which is short. And Bo Hostler is another one that came close for me at 40-1. And Abraham Ancer as well, who has been very well backed. I mean, he's 66-1 now with William Hill.
I'm keen on him, but not at 66.
Those fancy prices have disappeared. But he was born in Texas, wasn't he, the Mexican?
That's right. College and, there as well.
Got lots of good form in the wind and just comes into this with very solid form. 16th, 13th and 8th on his last 3 starts. I mean...
yeah.
Those people that hoovered up the 3 figures about Abraham Ancer, I think, are on to a value bet.
Yeah. John Huh, I quite liked. He's got some really good course form here.
He's 80s.
I think he was second going into the final round last year before blowing up. But he won, was it in Puerto Rico, I think he won, or was it the OHL Classic? He won one of those sort of windier, lesser events.
I think it was the OHL off the top of my head.
El Chameleon. Oh, yeah, that's what it is, because that's another Greg Norman design, of course,
as
is this week. So he could go well. He's got some spots of useful form. Scott Piercy, I like. I think we've got him at 50s.
Let me just check. Yeah, 52.
Yeah, so we're a little bit shorter on him, but I like his chance. I think he's striking it brilliantly at the moment. And he could argue that, okay, he's not putting great, but as you said a number of times, historically you've not needed to. It's been more ball strikers, so I think he could go well. Luke Liss has got an obvious chance, but I looked last year. I think he was 50s last year. And what have we got him at?
22.
Yeah, so he's again, he's become a bit of a sort of...
You talk about a player that's knocking on the door at the moment. He's one, isn't he, obviously?
Yeah, but he's well-found, isn't he, in the market? Yeah. So I think between us, we've got enough bets there.
I think we have. I think we've done well this week, patting ourselves on the back before these results come in on Sunday.
Yeah, when we shall never mention them again.
Absolutely. Let's recap the selections then. Dave Tindall.
So in Morocco, I will go a point each way, Adrian Otegui at 50-1. And I will go half a point each way, Robert Rock at 66-1. Then in Texas, I'll have a point each week.
Otegui.
I see, he's got into my head, hasn't he? Yeah. I'll have a point each way on former winners, Jimmy Walker at 50s and Martin Laird at 50s.
I'm going to play mine all a point each way here. A couple in each, 2x2. Ronaldo Paratore at 50-1 and George Kutsaya at 18-1 in the Trophy Hassan. And in the Texas Open, JB Holmes at 50-1 and Matt Jones at a whopping 200-1. My two selections in Texas. Dave, who's the player you don't want to win this week?
A tough one. I would probably say Kurt C, but you're on him, so...
That's fine. I don't mind.
So that him, probably.
Yeah. I'd have to say Abraham Ansah, I think.
Right.
Just because he's been smashed so heavily in Texas, and if he was three figures, I'd be tipping in this week. Yeah. So there you go. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, well, good to have you back, Dave.
It's good to be back.
That was good fun, yeah.
At Dave Tindall Golf, if you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can follow myself at D Kellner. And make sure you check out all the latest betting at sports.williamhill.com or on the William Hill app as well. Thank you for your company on this edition of the podcast as well, listeners. Make sure you follow both myself and Dave on Twitter. Check out the betting on the website. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck. Enjoy it, and we'll be back in the not-too-distant future.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.